This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We'd like to welcome back to the show State Senator Sean Ryan. Senator, good morning.
How are you today?
Doing all right, Senator. Before we get to your run for mayor, do you want to ask your thoughts on the corrections officers' strike going on throughout New York State?
Oh, that's a deep, long, simmering problem. So the corrections officers, they've been up against it for a lot of years. They took a bunch of zeros under the Cuomo administration. People are not applying to be corrections officers. A lot of forced overtime, and it's not just the corrections officers who are being affected right now, right? There's a lot of civilian employees in the facilities, nurses, teachers, social workers, folks who work in the kitchen, and of course the incarcerated folks. So, the sooner that we can get people back to work, the better off that we're going to be.
Do you agree with the state sending those text messages over the weekend, canceling the insurance and threatening fines and imprisonment to get the corrections officers back in the jails?
Yeah, it's not whether I agree or not. That's what their contract calls for, and that's what state law calls for. You may recall, 15 years ago, the Buffalo teachers, went out on the strike against the Taylor law. And, Phil Rumor went to jail for it. And every teacher had to pay substantial penalties for it. So, it's a difficult position to be in. But that's how the state traditionally has handled these things. And, the contract itself calls for these things.
My final question on this, then we'll get to the race for mayor. Would you be at all willing to suspend the HALT Act if that's what it took?
Look, there are so many issues in this strike, whether it's tier 6 pension, the forced overtime, other work conditions. There's no one magic wand that's going to address these disputes that have been really building for year after year. And I know we only want to talk about this for a minute, but I just have to add this. I was at an event last summer honoring a teenager, Good Samaritan, and his family were all corrections officer. And after the event, their spouses all came up to me and said, our husbands can't be here today. They're all scheduled to be off for this event, but they all got forced to work overtime. So that's 16 hours are going to be in the facility. The facility's 90 minutes away. They're going to be able to get home. And between the drive there and back, they're going to have 5 hours at home and then have to go back to another 8-hour shift. They said, our husbands can't keep this up. We're missing weddings. We're missing christenings. We're missing first communions. And, we can't live like this. It's been going on for years. So there's a lot of issues there. We really have to work to resolve them.
So last Saturday, you got the endorsement to be the endorsed candidate going into the primary for mayor of Buffalo. Senator, this is the first time we've talked since you officially said your intentions to run for mayor. What made you want to run for mayor of Buffalo?
Yeah, I love the city of Buffalo. You know, I live here. But one of my largest frustrations of being a state legislator was the inability to work with the city of Buffalo. You know, every year there's grant money left on the table. There's money delivered to the city, you know, that's not spent. So, you know, you try to help the city from the state level, but they can't seem to get out of their own way. And there's an opportunity. It's a generational change in leadership. I think I have the background necessary, my private sector experience, you know, 20 years in the private sector as a private lawyer. I worked with the county to help turn around the county's fiscal mess after the red-green budget. You know, when I came into the assembly, you know, we had a huge budget deficit. We had to make a lot of cuts. It was painful times, but we've got ourselves back on a good financial track. So I've done it with the county. I've done it with the state. And that's what we need to have for the city government. But we also really have to modernize our city government. You know, there is a lot of work to do, and there's been a lot of problems that have been ignored for 20 years.
You know, some of those issues, obviously, when you talk mayor of Buffalo, you talk anything Western New York, you're going to go roads, you're going to go snow handling of snow removal, which it seems every big storm, the focus is on the city. I do want to start with just the conditions of roads. Garnell Whitfield was on with Susan and Lucas on Friday talking about, you know, there are parts of the city of Buffalo where, I mean, there are roads that have not been addressed for years. And I noticed this on Friday. I was doing my other job, and I drove into the city down Bailey on the other side of Kensington, and I mean, I was wondering, you know, is the road going to take my car? How do you think that should be addressed so, you know, all of Buffalo has decent roads to drive their cars on?
I mean, it starts with the snow plowing, right? So, you know, we just had that cold snap, and the only reason we don't have ice on our roads now is finally Mother Nature melted it. So we don't do a good job plowing our streets. We don't do a good job fixing our potholes. Our pools haven't been opened in several summers. You know, the city of Buffalo has lost the ability to perform the basic services. And that's what we need to do. We need to get back into competent, basic services being offered to the people of the city of Buffalo. You know, why can't Buffalonians have good services? You know, they pay their taxes. They're a hub of the regional economy. But there's such a stark difference now between if you live in Cheektowaga or Tonawanda, you know, or even like West Seneca and Buffalo. It's like it's a stark difference. And, you know, our citizens deserve better. Buffalo deserves better. And, you know, that's why I'm running for mayor.
You talk about the fiscal issue facing the city of Buffalo right now. Obviously, in the last mayoral election, was it the last one? Yeah, the last one, we saw the write-in campaign by Mayor Byron Brown. Do you think Mayor Byron Brown was a good mayor? What are your thoughts on the way he ran the city and what you've learned from that, what you would do the same, what you would do differently from, you know, what us in Buffalo are used to? I mean, he was the mayor of Buffalo since I was a junior in high school.
Yeah, 20 years. You know, I'm sure there's good things and there's bad things. And, you know, I'm not here to, you know, to sort of give a grade to the past mayor, but I know that, you know, the past mayor and then, you know, the council members who voted year after year on these budgets, and that's what's got us into this mess. So, you know, the mayor didn't act alone, that's for sure.
How important do you think is the relationship with the county? We know, obviously, during the blizzard of 22, Mayor Byron Brown and Mark Poloncarz had their issues. It made national headlines. How important do you think that relationship is? And is that a relationship that you would favorably have with those in power at the county level?
Buffalo, for too long, has operated as an isolated island governmentally, you know, and politically. Buffalo can't fix itself without strong relationships with the county but also strong relationships with New York State. The city of Albany recently in this budget is going to get several hundred million dollars to do a renewal project in a part of Albany that's having a tough time. But they're only getting that state money. It's because they came and worked with the state, presented a plan to fix things, and they worked through it over several years to get to this point. But the city is operated as an island. I mean, you know, during that last storm, Erie County, under the leadership of Mark Poloncarz, was ready, willing, and able to help the city. And the city just didn't ask. And finally, Poloncarz put plows into the city without the city's authorization, because the city would have just kept snowed in rather than, you know, work cooperatively with other forms of government. And, you know, that's a real shame. So the city's got to pull out of their isolation, and they got to look more cooperatively towards the county, you know, to talk about things like parks management, you know, parks funding. They need to work more closely with the state to make sure that they're applying for all the money that's available to them. And that also when the money does get delivered, that it gets spent in an effective and pragmatic way. So there's a lot of relationships that need to be repaired. And I'm coming in with strong relationships with Mark Poloncarz, strong relationships with Governor Hochul, strong relationships in the Assembly, in the Senate. But Buffalo is not going to get out of where they are now with sort of, you know, acting alone. We're all by ourselves as a city. That's not going to work.
You've been on the show talking about your plans for housing throughout the city of Buffalo, affordable housing. We know that's still an issue today. What would you like to see done, and what would you do as mayor to push those things along?
Yeah, like when we talk about affordable housing, you know, that just means housing, you know, for people who make under $100,000 a year. That's a whole lot of Buffalonians making $30, $40 an hour who can't afford houses and apartments. So I put together a plan last year. We think there's 4,000 empty doubles in the city of Buffalo. Units in the doubles are empty, mostly owned by seniors, low-income folks. So we put together a grant program to get those units back online. It's already working. You know, the money's already been distributed to nonprofits, and people are applying for that. And then I put together another program, you know, based on the fact that we have over 10,000 vacant residential lots that are buildable, and no one's building on them. So we put together a state program for people who make between
low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections. But you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
$40,000 and $90,000 to be able to build brand new houses. And know what else it does, Joe? It gets houses back on the tax rolls. You know, vacant lots, they're not paying the same amount of money for taxes as a house would. And the same with doubles that are empty. Like, they're not valued that high. So all these things help rebuild neighborhoods. And if you rebuild neighborhoods, you're also rebuilding our tax base at the same time. So that was a start. We need to keep those programs going. But the city also needs to step up to the plate and to talk about what they need, and to try to empower people around Black Rock and Lovejoy and Cold Springs, who all have ideas about how to make their neighborhoods better. But right now, they're getting a deaf ear out of City Hall.
You know, on top of that, you have a lot of buildings, Senator, that just need to come down, right? I mean, they're I don't know the word I'm looking for, but they're rundown buildings. You can't really rehab them. I mean, if you've you drive through the city of Buffalo, you see many of these. Do you think the city has the resources or could have the resources to remove some of those properties, some of those buildings, and put a livable house, a business, something there?
It all comes back to code compliance. Like, we have these large commercial structures throughout the city that have been effectively abandoned, but the owners are never held for account. I mean, the city and building inspectors work really hard, but there's not enough of them to stay on top of these problems. But there also has to be the political will, you know, to go after owners of commercial buildings or letting their buildings sit and rot and doing demolition by neglect. So there's a lot of work to be done around the code compliance work. I know the building inspectors, they work super hard, but you know, they don't make the rules that they work under.
With that in mind, we have the cobblestone properties that have gotten a lot of attention. Brian and I have done a lot of talking about those properties in the morning. The city enacting eminent domain to take those from the owner. Do you think the city has acted correctly in trying to keep the rubble that is those buildings, or should the owner have the right to tear those buildings down?
You're 10 years too late, Brian. That building has been out of code compliance for a decade. The city should have activated a receivership program back then, and these buildings wouldn't be in this shape, and we wouldn't have to be spending millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars to stabilize them. I mean, they really made the mistake of they let this go too long through inaction. I mean, Councilmember Nowakowski and I did a press conference in front of that building over 6 years ago, you know, calling on city action, and the city didn't act. Now, you know, vintage closing the barn door after the horse runs out. Now there's a fire, the things are practically ruined, you know, and now the city wants to step up and to do something. You know, too late, the options were in front of you for years, you refused to take those options, but that's a shining example of it. But all over the city, we have similar examples of, you know, commercial landlords who are irresponsible, just sitting on property. And if someone in the neighborhood let their house be in that condition, they'd be dragged into housing court.
I got to ask you, a very hot issue for like the last 2 years has been the 33 and the project to cover about a mile of the 33. There's been some backlash from those along the 33 saying it's going to be a toxic tunnel. As mayor of Buffalo, do you support, if you were elected mayor of Buffalo, do you support that project, or would you be willing to listen to those who live in the area on an alternate project?
No, this is one of the bigger hot button issues, right? But once again, we're in these bad situations because there's no city leadership on this process. Rochester's undergoing a similar examination of their inner loop. Syracuse is looking at the highway that cuts their city in half. But on both projects, the city is the head of it. The city's leading it. In this case, the city took the back seat and let engineers from Albany make these decisions. And now they cut corners. The court ruled that they did a lot of things wrong. So now they have to go back to the drawing board. They have to look at alternatives, and they need to study each alternative in terms of which one is going to have the biggest impact on the environment. So, you know, we find ourselves in these positions sometimes, Joe, but, you know, we got there by our failure of leadership.
You mentioned Councilmember Nowakowski. He and I have talked a few times about business in downtown Buffalo. You know, 20,000 less people going to work every day than before the pandemic. Now, I'm not going to blame that on the city of Buffalo. I think you could look at the county, look at the state. But the city of Buffalo, and it's obviously hurting business. We heard that with Bray Miller. I mean, you walk down parts of Main Street, it's just completely empty. What would your plan be? Let me rephrase that question. Do you think it's the city's job to get people back to work in downtown Buffalo?
Look, I've done a lot of meetings with M&T and Delaware North, and right now those two workforces are really propping up the whole city of Buffalo downtown. But they will tell you it's getting harder and harder to get our employees to come to work if there's no lunch spots open. If the streets are empty, and there's no after work activities going on. So, you know, it's a little bit of a chicken and egg here. In order to get people to come back, downtown has to be alive, and we need to really refocus on Main Street as the core, from the theater district right down the canal side, to make sure that we're working cooperatively with the Empire State Development, which runs canal side, to make sure we're doing good entertainment, that, you know, we're figuring out to do some pop-ups on Main Street. But in order to get downtown to get its sort of mojo back, you know, it has to lead with entertainment, because you're not going to get people to come back to work if they're working in an abandoned downtown.
Do you think it will be possible, with that in mind, with what you just said in mind, to get a grocery store back into the old Bray Miller building?
You know, the grocery store was doomed from the start, and it didn't have good numbers before the pandemic. You know, it wasn't a true grocery store. It didn't sell household goods. You know, you couldn't go there and buy paper towels and toilet paper and dish detergent. So, it wasn't really kicking on all cylinders before the pandemic, but it is a cautionary tale, you know, of government putting a lot of government money into a private business, you know, that didn't work. I'm more of a fan of spreading the government out to several different businesses, and, you know, putting a lot of eggs in the Bray Miller's basket turned out to be a bad gamble.
Something that doesn't get as much talk as it did a few years ago. Now, I grew up taking the subway. I grew up right by the subway, the South Campus station. So
right.
for me, if there was something at the arena, I was on the train. So I've kind of been in the minority on people who think like me. I'm thinking expanding the train is actually a good idea. Where do you stand on expanding public transit? And do you think Buffalo and Western New York can support an expanded transit line?
Yeah, I've been working really closely with the NFTA over the years. The state's committed money to the project. I like you use it also. If I go to the Sabres game, you know, I walk up to the Canisius stop and get on there. It's easy peasy to get in and out of the game. You know, you don't have to battle the traffic then. And to have the linkages from, you know, UB out to UB North, to link the medical center with students on the North Campus, you know, it'll be a plus. But remember, we're going to have our federal partners at the table, and we'll have to see how this administration treats transportation funding. You know, are they going to continue to fund mass transit?
With that in mind, I wanted to ask you this. At the mayoral forum, I think it was the second one, County Executive Mark Poloncarz asked the question, and I don't know the exact because media wasn't allowed, but from what I heard, the question was around the lines of, as mayor of Buffalo, will you stand up to Donald Trump? Now, Buffalo has its issues. Do you think it's the job of the mayor of Buffalo to stand up to Donald Trump or worry about the city of Buffalo?
I don't know about that question, but, you know, we can do both. That's for sure. So if there's decisions coming out of Washington that negatively impact the state of New York, the county of Erie, the city of Buffalo, then yeah, we better make our voices heard. But that's the same voices you would make heard regardless of who is president. So, you know, if Medicare cuts come down, it's going to have a really negative impact on people in the state of New York. And we should use our voices to show our displeasure with Washington. You know, if there's continued staff cuts at the Buffalo VA hospital that makes it so our veterans can't be served, then we should use our voices to say that. And if things like transportation money is pulled off of the federal table to make it so we no longer get funding for our roads, our bridges, our buses and our subways, then we should use our voices on that also.
Senator, will you be at the St. Patrick's lunch the Friday before St. Patrick's Day?
I never missed that one.
All right.
I was at the Iris Center last night for an event, and you know, we were reminiscing about when that was a back in the day. I took my first swimming lessons at the Y in Abbott Road in South Buffalo. So great building, great storied tradition.
All right. Well, I'll be back there by popular demand. So I'll see you there. Maybe I'll get a question in.
We couldn't do it without you, Joe. I expect to see you there.
All right. Hey, State Senator Sean Ryan, I appreciate you joining us. And I do hope if you get elected mayor that you continue to not only come on this show, but make yourself available to all media in Western New York.
Sure. I plan on continuing my tradition of being open to the media.